course, He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, He is Lord. Thank you and praise you this morning once again that you have granted us the privilege to come and to gather in your precious name, the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to lift up that name this morning far above every other name. And we say of the truth, Lord, that name is worthy to be feared. That name is worthy to be praised, honoured, blessed and adored. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have washed us with your own precious blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you loved us, you cared for us, you died for us, and we thank you, Lord, on the third day you rose again, according to the scriptures. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon, this morning, that you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you make intercession for the saints. Lord, we bless your name this morning, and we're glad, and we are glad for the security we have in you this morning. We're glad for the assurance we have in you. We're glad for the knowledge of sins forgiven. We're glad, Lord, this morning for the confidence that we can, Lord, see through our days. Because you live, we can live also. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray indeed that this last day, Lord, you'll give us courage, Lord, to press the bottle to the gate. And let us not be slack, Lord, concerning the Father's work. But Lord, help us to be about, as you said always, that you were about your Father's business. And while it was life, you said you must work while it is day. Lord, for the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll speak continually to those in our families that's not saved. We pray, Lord, you'll draw them to your precious self. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for those that have turned you down many times, Lord, that your mercy will be long-suffering toward them and grant them even space yet to repent in the precious name of Jesus Christ. For, Lord, we know that the days are evil and the days are short. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, now that you will save the unsaved in our family. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us to enter into faith, Lord Jesus Christ, to do the unthinkable, Lord, to speak things which would seem to the world absurd and insane. But Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, may it be mighty, for the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord God, that you'll give us, Lord, the faith to trample over scorpions, even in these last days, for there's many about. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that we will do all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to bring glory and honour to your precious name. We ask you, Lord, this morning that as we take a time to worship and to praise you, that you'll move among your people. Lord, inhabit the praises of your people as we would praise and as we would worship and give thanksgiving to you. And Lord, even as I would open up your word this morning, hide me behind thy cross, O God. And Lord, let not the words of Gary McKinstry come forth, but Lord, let them be words from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I commit myself to you. I ask you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to take control of this service. For God's glory, I commit it now to you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And we bind the strong man now, and we spoil his goods in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see each one this morning. We're going to turn to number 164 in the Redemption Hymn Book. What a wonderful, wonderful Saviour who would die on the cross for me, freely shedding his precious life blood that the sinner might be made free. Amen. Number 164 in the redemption hymn book. Sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today, who will bring to me the lost and dying, who will point them to the narrow way. Praise God. Can you turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 12, please? John's Gospel, and chapter 12. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you can join us with us this morning. And I just want to speak on a little message this morning that I had been perhaps going to speak on it. The last time I spoke was speaking about Isaac, and I was going to speak or preach from the scripture, "If I be lifted up from the earth," and I believe it was that very same evening that Tommy preached from it. But maybe just from a slightly different angle perhaps, but from the same scripture, and it's God's word, and I hope it's not repetitive to you, but really do trust that the Lord will speak to us this morning, and I trust that's your desire as well. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 12, and it's verse 32, and it reads, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Let's bow our heads again, just as we ask God's blessing upon His word. Our Heavenly Father, we ask indeed that You'll bless Your word to our hearts this morning. Speak to us, Lord, and Lord, even speak and reveal to me as I speak to Your people. We pray that we will receive from You in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, it's a wonderful little verse here in the Gospel of John, And there's been songs wrote about this verse. I remember in Sunday school we used to sing the little song that you must be born again. And there was a verse in it that Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, you can read about it in John chapter 3. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Again, there's a hymn we sometimes sing, it's in the Redemption Hymn Book. It says, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. And that was because when the brass serpent or the brazen serpent in the wilderness, God instructed Moses to make that brass serpent. And when they were bit by those serpents, they looked upon the staff, the serpent on the pole, and they looked and they lived. You know, before that, the people were dying. There's a great plague. And maybe if you're not familiar with it, for anybody listening in, perhaps at a later date, you can read the story of it in Numbers chapter 21. And as the people tarried in the wilderness, they were going through labours, and they got greatly discouraged as they went along the wilderness. And you know, sometimes we can get discouraged, and it seems like we're in the wilderness. And when we get discouraged, perhaps we maybe start to complain. Maybe the children of Israel were very quick to forget the 10 great miracles that God demonstrated in Egypt. They were very quick to forget all the blessings that God had done along the way. And you know, whenever a miracle happens in your life at the point of need, it's fantastic, it's really great, or something that God intervenes, it's really great. But whenever you come to a point in your life where you're struggling, you know, yesterday's manna won't really do for you. You need something for today. But the people soon forgot what God was able to do, and they said, would to God was dead in Egypt. And you know, that's a bit like what people's like whenever people don't see the Lord working the way maybe we would expect them to see. People get discouraged and they forget about the miracles, and they begin to think to themselves that maybe God can't do it no more, or this is not for the day. They get discouraged. And whenever that happens, whenever people forget quickly and people get discouraged, God got angry with his people because they soon forgot all the miracles of God and they fell into unbelief. And the Lord says that he sent fiery serpents among them. And those fiery serpents bit the people. And there was a great plague. The people began to die. And whenever they seen the death of the people repented and they cried to the God and they cried on to Moses and said, we've sinned. And God instructed Moses to make this brass serpent. And brass speaks of judgment. And that brass serpent on sin speaks, or the serpent speaks of sin. And what it represented was sin judged. William Branham said that, if you listen to that day at Calvary, I believe the sermon is, he said about that brazen serpent, what it represented was sin judged. And when Jesus Christ was lifted up from the earth, he judged sin. He put sin to death in his own body upon the tree. He triumphed over sin. That's what Jesus done. He said, and I? Amen. And you see this verse, it's a verse of instruction. It's a verse of information. It's a blueprint. It's a plan. He's giving you direction, what you should do. He said, I. And there's a condition to it. Because he reiterates I. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know, he was speaking of his crucifixion. And you know, there's a condition with it. Because he said, and I, if I, another won't do. You couldn't lift up Moses. Moses couldn't be lifted up for you. None of the prophets or none of the priests could be lifted up from you. If you begin to lift up some other godly man or some angel or any other thing or any other, what it may be, it won't draw men to Jesus. And that's what we need. We need that men would be drawn to Jesus. A man that's drawn to anything else is hopeless, is lost, has no hope, has no life, has no victory, has nothing. If he's not drawn to Jesus, he's lost. And you, if you are lifting up something else to draw a man to something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a lost case. He's dead. He can't be saved. There's only one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he put the condition on I, not me on something else. There's no alternative. On I, if I, it's singular, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up and suspended between heaven and earth when he was nailed to the tree for us. And God judged sin in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin was put to death on the cross, for Jesus completely triumphed over sin. So therefore, obedience on death by sin, but by the obedience of one man came the justification of all men unto life. All men. Therefore, the price of every man, woman, child, boy or girl, whatever it may be, their sin has already been paid for. It's been taken care of. It has been put to death. So the reason now that a man or woman goes to hell is because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can read about that in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. This is condemnation. This is what will condemn a man. That light is come into the world. A man loved darkness rather than light. That's condemnation. That's what will send a man and woman to death. You know what type of people is going to be in hell? Be full of good people, full of rich people, people in power, people in authority, all sorts of men and women will be in hell. And they all have one thing in common. They're all Christ rejectors. You see, that's what condemns a man and woman to hell. So Jesus Christ was lifted up once to die for sin. But in that he lives forevermore. And you know, I thought about this as a wonderful subject. You see, what happened was, in the wilderness here, during the Exodus, the children of Israel were faced with a dilemma. Sin was killing the people because of their unbelief. Sin was taking hold and killing the people. But God gave Moses a plan. And when Moses went through the camp and presented this brazen serpent on a pole. Now why was it on a pole? It was on a pole so that the low could look up and see. Because you know some people are tall and they can see very far. And some people are short and they can't see very far at all. I think of little Zacchaeus. He was that short, he couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see him in the natural. So he had to climb a tree. But you know, God makes Jesus that everyone can see. That's why he needs to be high and lifted up. That's why when you preach, the shortest of the short must see Jesus. He must be high and lifted up, praise God. He must be exalted. He must be presented high and far above all. So that the low can see him. The shortest in society, the lowest in society can look on to Jesus and live. Not just for the tall man. Not just for those with good eyesight. You know, but all sorts of men are drawn to Jesus. The high and the low are both drawn to Jesus. And God made a provision. That's why it was on a pole. So that the short people, as well as the tall people, could see this. And those that are afar off could see it. You know, some people, the Bible says that a city that's set in the hill cannot be hid. Because you can see it afar off. From all around this country, there's plenty of places where you can see the fort at less than 50, I believe it is. And it's set on a hill, those group of trees are set on a hill, and for miles around, because it's lifted up, you can see it for afar off. And that's what we must do with Jesus Christ. We're not lifting him up to put him on the cross, but you know, he was presented once by man as a criminal, and but to God as a living, as a sacrifice and an atonement for sin. But now we see Jesus Christ high and lifted up far above all. He's been exalted, even greater than what he was when he was in this earth, because he sits at their majesty and having at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is high and lifted up so that when a man that's afar off can look and live. And that's what we've got to do when we preach. We've got to present a Jesus who can be seen afar off, a Jesus who can be seen by all, a Jesus for all, that he can touch all, save all, and heal all. Praise God. We've got to preach a Jesus. Not a Jesus that's going to the cross. Not a Jesus that's going to be a sacrifice. But we're lifting up. We're presenting a Jesus that is a living sacrifice. Praise God. So I thought to myself about this verse. It's quite a claim, isn't it? And I, imagine one man, talk about being boastful. Like, there's none of us could say this, but Jesus wasn't really boasting because this was the truth. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men onto me. That's quite a claim, isn't it? Is there anybody here could say that? Is there, you know, there's certain types of people and you'll be attracted to certain kinds of people. And there's other types of people you'll be repelled from. There's certain characteristics of people you like. And there's certain characteristics and traits of people you'll dislike. But this man said, I will draw all men onto me. There's not another man could say that. And you know, if people aren't being pointed to Jesus, or if Jesus hasn't been lifted up, they'll be drawn to something else. But our jobs as ministers of the gospel, and not only ministers, but as disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of the Lord, we must always present Jesus Christ. And there must not be anybody that comes close so that there's some sort of confusion, so that when people subject, you know, last week I had been thinking about this for some time, but I never really put pen to paper, but I sort of way I thought to myself, I was thinking on the subject, what type of men are drawn to Jesus? And this morning, just for a few notes, so I opened up the Bible this morning at Matthew chapter 9, just randomly. I just opened up the Bible and I started writing down the types of people just in one chapter of the book. Now, we couldn't go through the whole book because we wouldn't have time. But in one chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, these are the list of people that I seen was drawn to Jesus. First of all, we could say, you can read this story in chapter 9, there was the man of the palsy, he was sick. You can read about the same story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And the Bible says there that there was a great crowd pressing the house so much that there wasn't even hardly room to get through the door. There was a crowd of people. Jesus draws a crowd. I want to let you know this morning, don't think that Jesus can't draw a crowd. Jesus, when he was on earth, he drew a crowd. And if we're going to have an honest representation of Jesus Christ, we must preach a Jesus that can draw a crowd. How does that happen? Well, you need the power of Jesus in your life. And if you've got the power of Jesus in your life, you can draw men to that power, because there's life-giving power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Jesus draws a crowd. Everywhere he went, there was multitudes following him. And there's all types of men, women and manner of folk in a multitude of people. There's all sorts there. And Luke tells us that there was doctors of the law there, doctors of divinity, theologians and all them, Pharisees and Sadducees, all the religious leaders of the day. Jesus drew men for good report and bad report. Jesus drew all types to him. After we see the crowd, but you know the story that these two men gathered up this man that was sick of the palsy and they couldn't get through the door because of the crowd, so they opened up the roof and they let him down in. So we see that Jesus draws them that are lame and them that are sick, the sick of the palsy. Isn't that wonderful? That this Jesus, now listen, I tell you something this morning, I want to make this perfectly clear. If we are going to represent Jesus, we have got to represent all of Jesus. Not just a part of Jesus, but all of Jesus, if we're going to be faithful witnesses. And if we want to see these type of men drew to Jesus Christ, this is the Jesus we must present. If we don't present the Jesus that draws the sick won't come. If we don't present the Jesus that heals the sick won't come. But Jesus, when he was on earth, he drew the sick because he healed them. So when we preach, we must preach a healing Jesus. When we present Jesus to this world, we must present the Jesus that heals. Praise God. Amen. This man, he drew the sick. Verse 9 in the Matthew's Gospel, he draws them that are despised and rejected. Matthew was a tax collector. He wasn't very favorable to the Jew because he was working for the enemy. He was working for the Romans, taking the people's hard-earned money. He was despised and rejected by his fellow men. He wasn't anybody's friend. Nobody wanted nothing to do with this boy. He was out just trying his best to make a living, but the people disdained him. They counted him as a lowlife. But Jesus drew that type of man to himself. Jesus draws the no friend man. Jesus draws the no life man. Jesus draws those that are despised and rejected, for he himself was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus draws that type of person to him. So when we present to Jesus, we must present to Jesus to the outcast in society. Not just for those that we embrace. Not just for those that we think worthy. We have got to present a Jesus that reaches to all. Praise God. Verse 10. And most important of all, he draws sinners. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus draws sinners? Everywhere he went, sinners followed him. They mocked and said, hold on a minute. This man, he invites sinners and publicans to his house. He eats and he drinks with them. He said, this man's a friend of sinners. You know, some people couldn't get far enough away from sinners. They're afraid of sinners in case they would backslide. But we ought to have enough of God that we can present the gospel to sinners. That we can reach the sinner. That we can talk to the sinner. We can fellowship and witness for Jesus to the sinner. When we present Jesus, we've got to present him as a friend to sinners. That's an honest representation. For Jesus, indeed, was a friend of sinners. And I'm glad, because before I come to know him, he was my friend, praise God. He was a friend of sinners indeed. Verse 18, he draws in those that are in authority, and rulers also. You know, Jesus draws the attention of those that are in high places, those who are in government, those who are in councils, those who are in authority, Jesus even reaches to those men. And sometimes we say all manner of evil against them. The Bible says we ought to pray for them, but we've got to present to Jesus that can save us. One man from this country once said, might have been W.P. Nicholson or Willie Mullen, I'm not sure who it was, but he said, from the uttermost to the guttermost. That's the type of man that Jesus draws onto himself, praise God. What other type of man does he draw? Verse 20, he draws them that have been forbidden to come. Praise God for that. You know, there's people who are forbidden to come to Jesus. There's people who have been told, stay away from church. Don't go near that bunch. Don't go near there. Stay away from there. There's people all the time forbidden to come to Jesus. And in this verse 20 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, you'll read about a woman with an issue of blood. And you know, by the God's own law, she was forbidden to come because she was an unclean woman. She had an issue of blood. Do you know, if you'd have sat in that woman's bed, that you couldn't even have mixed in a crowd because you'd have been rendered unclean because of the issue of blood. The woman was rendered unclean. She couldn't go to a public place. And she was forbidden to come to Jesus, for Jesus was on his road on a mission. And she pressed through the crowd, breaking all the rules, breaking all that was acceptable in society, breaking the law. She came. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, this day, you might have to break the law to come and follow Jesus. You might have to break the law to come and present Jesus. But if it needs be, so be it, to be a lawbreaker to present Jesus Christ. This woman was breaking the law, but still she come to Jesus. Jesus is greater than any law. Jesus is even greater than the Ten Commandments because he fulfilled them. Praise God. Not a finger of accusation against our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a mighty one. Praise the Lord. Jesus draws those that's even been forbidden. You know, Jesus draws the Muslim. Jesus draws the atheist. Jesus draws the Hindu and all them false religions. And even draws dry-eyed Christians as well, so-called. Jesus draws all manner of people who's been forbidden to come. You know what else he does? He draws them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, who's been told it's not for the day, that it's off the devil. He draws them type of people who've been forbidden to come and receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ draws those kind of people too. Praise God. Amen. Verse 25. He brings those that are dead. He even draws the dead. It's not wonderful that Jesus Christ draws the dead back to life again to receive him. Them unto himself. Praise God. What a mighty God is that. This is the kind of Jesus we have got to present. We've got to present the Jesus that raises the dead. Hallelujah. And I'm not just speaking about we were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm speaking literally. Jesus can raise the dead. You know, you can't give a man another chance. If a man passes by this scene of time and he goes to hell, there's no hope for him. But I'll tell you this, God's sovereign. And there's some wonderful testimonies. And don't say I believe everything I hear, but there's testimonies I have heard and I believe where people were descending to hell and God, by his mercy, brought the people back and gave the people a chance to repent and they got saved. Only God can do that. You know, it's not something I say that we should go about telling people, oh, wait till your deathbed. Not at all. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. And when we preach, we must preach, now is the day of salvation. We've got to present the now Jesus. But I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ can raise the dead. Hallelujah. We've got to present the Jesus. We've got to lift up a Jesus to the world who raises the dead, who quickens the dead, who quickens even those that are dead in trespasses and sin. That's just as important, praise God. It's not wonderful. You know, it's greater that Jesus would quicken you and bring those that are dead and trespassing and spin spiritually to life than raising a man from the dead and him dying and going back to hell. Which is the greater? Well, the others are greater, but I want to let you know that Jesus raises the dead. The Bible says about women of faith who prayed and they received their dead back again to life. Isn't Jesus wonderful? This is the type of Jesus that we must preach, praise God. Verse 27, he draws the blind and he gives them sight. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus draws those that have no sight to follow him. And you know what's wonderful in this piece of scripture? Even those men that were blind, there still was a drawing in them to follow Jesus. They couldn't see where they were going. They were blind, but still with all, there was such a drawing Jesus. Hallelujah. That they followed him, having no eyesight. Praise God. They followed him. Such was the drawing Jesus. Let me see a man walking up that road that two blind men could follow. Couldn't you be one today? Because there's no man has a draw like Jesus. But Jesus made the clear. Jesus drew the blind to himself. Isn't this a, you know what? I got blessed when I seen the type of people in this one random chapter. I just opened up the Bible randomly, and there in a random chapter, look at all these type of men that Jesus draws to himself. He draws the blind, praise God, and he gives them sight. Not only does the blind follow him, but you know, he does something for them. No point in me saying to you, Rocco, come to my house tonight, we're going to get you a Chinese and I set you down a menu. I never come forth with any food. You've got to produce the goods, hallelujah. And we need the power of God to be able to produce the goods, hallelujah. That's the truth. Jesus can draw men to him. Jesus can give you that power, but we need it. Do you know why people haven't got this power? Do you know why people aren't seeing these things? Because they're presenting a false Jesus. They're presenting a partial Jesus. They're presenting a part of Jesus, not the full Jesus. That's why we're not seeing these great things today. That's why there's so much unbelief, because people have been presenting another Jesus. We've got to present the Jesus of the Bible. Praise God. Amen. I better hurry along through here. Praise God. Verse 32, he draws to himself those who cannot speak. You know, there's people today and they're afraid to speak. They're dumb. And their mouth has been closed. They're afraid to give an opinion. They've been told to shut up. Sit there, you don't know nothing, you keep quiet. You know, some people don't have the ability to speak. Some people are naturally dumb. But Jesus drew the dumb, those that could not speak. And do you know what he does? He gives them a voice. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I never dreamed today when I was young. I remember one of my grandparents, my granddad-in-law, said to me someday, maybe you'll be a preacher. I couldn't imagine it. But here God has given me a voice to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, to present to you this morning the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me a voice. And the Lord draws those that are dumb to himself. Praise God. He also draws them that's possessed with devils. That's right. He draws even those that the devil's trying to take away. But God's draw is greater than the devil's draw. And God draws them that are filled with devils and demons and needing deliverance. And he healed them, praise God. He even draws the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the Sadducees. As I said, whether for good or bad, but they're still drawn because there's something about this man. Oh, Jesus, just to mention off your name. Oh, Jesus, the flowers grow, the desert bloom again. At the mention of your name. Praise the Lord. There's some draw with Jesus. Praise God. Verse 35 in the same chapter says, he healed every sickness and every disease. When we present Jesus, we have got to present the Jesus who not only can but will heal every disease and will heal every sickness, because that's what he done. That's a faithful representation of Jesus. If I was to say to you this morning, it might not be God's will to heal. It might not be God's will to set that person free. I'd be a liar. I'd be being dishonest. I can't find in this word where it wasn't Jesus' will to heal. I can't find in this word where Jesus let the sick go unpaid. But I can find that he healed every sickness and every disease. Praise God. I can find it. Praise God. You'll read about it in Matthew chapter 9. He healed not only that, but it also says, and perhaps more importantly again, that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. We have got to preach the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? Let me remind you. I'm sure you all know, but you know I love what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. It's good news to those that are dying. It's good news to those that are sick. It's good news to those that are lame. It's good news to those that are bound and restricted and forbidden and all manner of evil and sickness and all sorts of rubbish that put chains and binds them on. But the Lord Jesus preached good news. Oh, you've been bound in that wheelchair. I have good news for you. Jesus can take you out of it. Oh, you've been bound by blindness. I have good news for you. Jesus can take it away. You've been bound by sin. I have great news for you. That Jesus Christ, by his blood, cleanses you and sets you free. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He sets the captives free. He does indeed. Praise the Lord. He draws multitudes. You're reading out there that the multitudes come to see him. Jesus Christ draws multitudes of people. He draws to himself, and lastly in verse 38, he draws to himself those who have lost their way, a sheep with no shepherd. It's not wonderful that Jesus Christ can draw to himself those that have lost their way. You know, many people struggle through life. They don't know what direction to go. They're lost. They don't know. They're confused. They're deceived. But Jesus Christ can reach that person that's wandering like a sheep with no shepherd. You know what? A sheep with no shepherd doesn't know where to go to get fed, doesn't know where to go to get sheared, doesn't know where to go to get looked after, medicated and all that there. But when you've got a shepherd, he leads me by green pastures and by the still waters. The shepherd looks after the sheep. And we must present to Jesus who's faithful and looks after the sheep. Not a hireling who flees when trouble comes, but a man who loves the sheep, who would give his life for the sheep, that when the bear would come, he'd stand against the bear. And when the lion will come, he'd stand against the lion. And not only will he stand against, but he'll defeat everything that comes against his sheep, because he's already triumphed over everything. Praise the Lord. This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what else? If we can think about all these different types of men, I said, don't have time to go through them all. There's the rich, there's the poor, there's the tall, there's the short, there's the religious, there's all sorts of things. But Jesus Christ draws all sorts of men and women on little children. Jesus draws himself little children. Then the children come and sit upon his knee. And the disciples said, we better send these boys away. They're going to be an annoyance. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. We must present to Jesus that children understand. We've got to present to Jesus that children can reach. We can't present to Jesus that it's some great formula or something afar off or something mystic that you must do to get saved. No, the gospel's good news to children. The gospel is easy to attain. It's there for the picking. It'll draw even the little children onto himself. I was only a child when he drew me, praise God. And I thank the Lord that all I had to do was call upon his name, repent of my sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood for me. And you know what? He saved me. And I'm not one bit better saved today than I was all them years ago. He saved me and he kept me. That's the type of Jesus we must present. We've got to present today a Jesus who can reach the alcoholic, a Jesus who can reach the drug addict. He draws all the filth to come to himself for washing and cleansing. And you know what else? He's no respect of persons. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ is no respect of persons. Praise God. When we lift up Jesus, it's not now as it was then, as I said earlier on, for a man to be lifted up. Jesus was presented as a criminal to the world, as an outcast, as an usurper, as an upstart. But to God, he was presented as a sacrifice and atonement for sin. Praise God. Now that's how we lift him up today. When we present the Lord Jesus, we've got to give an honest representation of him. We've got to present them as that living sacrifice. One who endured the shame of the cross and one who endured being forsaken on our behalf for us, forsaken by the Father. And we have a solemn obligation to present this same Jesus and not another. That's why these people, you don't see these things there, because people have for so long been presenting another Jesus. But I've read you this morning, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, Amen. And today, and forever. So if you preach a different Jesus than what's recorded here, you're preaching another Jesus. Praise God. He must draw the same kind of people today. And when we present Jesus in this fashion, and we are believing what we say, then we can see the same results. In order for us to draw that kind of people, we must present a Jesus with the same characteristics of what we read here in the Bible. He's got to be able to forgive. We've got to preach a forgiving Jesus. He's got to be impartial. He's got to have compassion. He's got to be a healer. He's got to be a deliverer. He's got to be a speaker in tongues. You know the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in tongues dying on the cross. Amen. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He spoke in tongues raising Jairus' daughter, Talithi Kume. He spoke in tongues. He was a tongue-speaking Jesus. And also he was a man of prayer. And he was a man who told the truth. We have wonderful to see that there is no accusation can be brought against our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot present a Jesus who's afraid. And I think this is the problem today why so many people's preaching another Jesus, because they're afraid. They're afraid if it doesn't happen, what will they do? They're afraid to lay hands on the sick. Jesus was never afraid to lay hands on anyone, praise God. They're afraid to speak the word. They're afraid to speak against sin. They're afraid to cast out devils. Nor can we present a Jesus who gives us a spirit of fear. Because the Bible says that he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He says perfect love casts out fear. We have got to present a courageous Jesus. A Jesus who's bold. And we, like Jesus, must be courageous and we must be bold, praise God. We have got to present on Jesus Christ, that's the same as what we have read about here. Praise the Lord. You know what else we've got to preach? And this is us from closing. I'm going to close, but you know what's very important? These are the last days. And Jesus said that I will come again and receive you unto myself. We have got to present a Lord Jesus Christ who is literally coming again. We have got to also to present a Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm running out of time here, but it's very important. A Jesus Christ who's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We have got to present that type of Jesus, because that's the type of Jesus. He breathed on his disciples and they received the Holy Ghost. He said, it's expedient that I go, that the Comforter may come. This is the type of Jesus we must present. We must present a Jesus who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. We have got to be very careful in these last days to present a Jesus that we have an earnest expectation that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And you know what? It could be tonight. It could be tonight. Did ever you see a time where things were coming together so quickly? You know, we are so close to the tribulation period. We're so close to the coming of the Lord. And you know, we have got to present, whenever Jesus was taken into heaven, they said, the angel said to the disciples that this same Jesus shall come again in like manner. And let it be said of us that when that same Jesus comes, that we are found preaching and presenting this same Jesus we've read about this morning. Let it be said that we are still presenting this same Jesus. You know, the Lord's coming soon, and let me just tell you how close I think these things are. There's so much, not to be political this morning, but you know, there's so much talk about the mark of the beast now and these vaccines and all these different things, you know. But let me just say, this is not just creeping in. This is coming at an explosive rate. Just yesterday or the day before, I was in paying for diesel and I noticed the headlines on the Daily Mail paper, and it read, "No jab, no job." And there's a man called Dominic Raab. He's some minister over something, and he's proposing that employers can now tell their employees that if they don't have the vaccine, they won't have a job. The British government has already bought tech off America, and already have in place now apps by stealth. It said they put these apps on that they can detect on your mobile phone whether or not the NHS workers have been vaccinated. And I've seen a poster of two nurses holding up placards, last year's heroes, this year's unemployed. Imagine that. How close is it to the mark of the beast? The Bible says that no man could buy or sell save he had the mark. If you can't work, how are you going to pay your mortgage? If you can't work, how are you going to buy your groceries? You see, this is very, very close. Let's waken up. We have a short time. The Lord is coming again. The tribulation period is about to set in. Let's get busy presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are coming so fast upon us, and there's very little discernment among so-called believers. They don't have enough discernment to tell day from night. They don't have enough discernment to discern between bitter and sweet. They've just run on headlong with their head down. They're listening to some other voice because they haven't had no discernment. Because, you know why? They don't have the Holy Ghost. Because they haven't been presented with a Jesus who fills with the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost in this day. You need the Holy Ghost to go on to catching up. Let us present a Jesus that will fill with the Holy Ghost so that when he comes, you'll be ready to go. Listen, we are indeed at the last days. Time is short. Let me stress that. The time is short. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's closer now than it's ever been. That's, maybe it seems that's obvious, but let me tell you, it is so close. You know what they're doing? This is my thought, and you can think what you want. But you know, I was thinking about it, like, there's so many things about the vaccine so similar to the mark of the beast. But you know, it's not really the vaccine, because if somebody physically restrained you, they could give you a vaccine, or could put a tattoo or a mark, whatever that, somebody could physically give you that. And if the Bible says that whosoever received the mark, they're damned, they're finished. Let me make that clear. Anybody who receives the mark of the beast, they're finished. There's no hope for them. Don't ever accept that mark. But you know, if somebody was able to put that mark on you against your will, that would place your salvation in their hands. And that couldn't happen. But the Bible also says not only would they receive a mark in their hand, but in their head. And I believe that's a consciousness of your right to surrender your human rights. And you know what they're altering? Satan's behind the whole lot. They're trying to alter the human. You know for why? For the devil wants his own lifetime ambition to be like God. He wants to be worshipped as God. And even men now, they are calling themselves God because of vaccines in production now and things that are in production now to try to change your structure. They want ownership over your body. And it's a selling out. And there's got to be something, a conscious decision, along with perhaps a physical mark. I believe there will be a physical mark. Some people don't. I do. That's just my opinion. But you know, let's waken up, because the days are short. And let's not surrender our human rights. And let's believe Jesus, that he's a healer. You know, the Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they take any deadly thing, it shall do them no harm. They shall trample over scorpions and all sorts. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's, you know, he's the greatest doctor. He's the greatest physician. I was thinking about it, you know, about could I find a scripture that really would support the idea that Jesus couldn't heal. And, you know, I couldn't find any scriptures that would maybe lean some people. There's a couple of scriptures, but really they're talking about persecution, not really talking about sickness. But I thought about it, and, you know, there was one man in the Bible, and he was a man of God. His name was King Asa. And the Bible says when he was old, he got diseased in his feet. And he said that he sought after the physicians. Now, I know, and I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Them things is wonderful and good. But when the doctor can do no more, you know, there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he died because he sought not after the Lord. He died because he sought not after the Lord, but to the physicians. Who are you putting your trust in this morning? Are you going to present to me science this morning? Medical reports, it's all. Listen, you could not believe the half of what you read and the other half's lies. Don't believe all you see in here because, listen, Tommy was giving the figures last week about abortion. If this government and this world is pushing so hard to kill millions of the most vulnerable in our society, don't you think that they have your best interest at heart? Not at all. They're not. Listen, you know what? I'll tell you now, listen, who's the God of this evil age? It's the Satan. And the Bible says of the thief, he says he comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. There's no good thing comes from the enemy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. There's only life in Jesus Christ. That's why we must present the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up far above all. Present him above everything else. There's nothing can come close. He is the Lamb of God that found from being slain before the foundation of the world. He is God Almighty. I am. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no like one. And praise God. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I've had an opportunity to present Jesus Christ. There's many other things could be said, but for time I'm not going to say no more. I trust you've been blessed this morning. And off we go. Let's keep that in mind. What type of Jesus are we presenting? Let's present. You know, some people present for all they know. And that's, Lord bless anybody that does that. But for us that knows, let's present an honest Jesus. Let me just tell you a little story. I thought about this earlier on. Imagine I was out working in a place. And there was a woman there, and she was keeping little cats. And she was a great lover of cats. And I said to her, I say, you like cats? She says, oh, yes, I love cats. I've had cats for many years. And, oh, I just love them. They bring me so much comfort. And, oh, I just love them. I says, you know, I have a friend who keeps a couple of cats. They're very rare. There's not very many of them in this country. Oh, she would say to me, I said, I'll bring you down and show you them. She said, oh, I would like that very much. Now, I have said, right, get yourself ready. Next week I'll bring you to my friend here. But I didn't happen to tell her that whenever she gets there, my friend's a safari keeper and the cat I'm taking her to see is a lion. And I put her in the lion. You know, she's not going to run and embrace the lion because I didn't tell her any lies. I told her it was a cat. But you see, I didn't tell her the whole story. I didn't tell her that this cat wasn't a domesticated cat. And you know, some people want to preach a domesticated Jesus. They want to preach a house-trained Jesus. That means that a Jesus can come in and he's told to sit in the corner and don't you come out of that corner and don't you say anything you're not supposed to say and we'll bring everything else in and if you get out of line we'll hit you a clip with our toe and we'll put you out the door. That's a domesticated Jesus. That's not how Jesus works. That's not how the Lamb works. When the Lamb comes in, he takes over. You're the one sitting in the corner. The Lamb has full reign of the house. He's the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And let me tell you, when he comes back, they're not going to put him on a tree when he comes back the second time. Not at all. He's the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. He's not a domesticated cat. He's the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Just as the Lamb is the King of Beasts, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. You're not going to house train the Holy Ghost because he might do things that will disturb the order of things. He's a disturber and he breaks up things that's not right. He's like the man that works in the clay and vessel. Sometimes it has to be smashed and started over again, and that's what the Holy Ghost does. Sometimes he comes in and he creates a mess. He's not a domesticated Jesus. Don't present a domesticated Jesus. One that's house-trained, one that you can say, oh, he doesn't do this, he can do this, but he doesn't do that. Not at all. Preach the whole Jesus. Preach the King. Preach the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Our precious God, I'm so glad this morning that you are the same. I'm so glad that I can stand here with confidence this morning, knowing that what I have said is the truth, because I read it in your word. I think of one of your servants who even said that if he never seen another healing, he would still believe you're a healer, because it's recorded in your word, and your word is truth, and everything else is a lie. Your word says, let God's word be true, and every man a liar. And that's where I stand this morning. I don't care what these eyes see. I don't care what these ears hear. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe your word. You are the same. You are. You said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus. They said, I am. And they fell backward, because that Shekinah glory of God was on you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that's what draws men and women to you. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe your word when you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord Jesus Christ, I point men and women to you now, Lord Jesus Christ, because you're the same. Lord, let that draw come upon each and every one of us, that we could point and win men and women for you and for your kingdom and for your glory. Give us the boldness to speak your word. Give us the boldness to go forward and lay our hands and pray for the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. And give us the experience in the Holy Ghost that we need in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us a desire to seek for more of your power, because it's going to take your power to change these mortal bodies. It's going to take your power to make the difference. It's going to take your power to create the draw. And I ask you, Lord, that you endue us with power in the name of Jesus Christ, our mighty King. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our brother Tommy.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Gary. I'll tell you, I really enjoyed that. Lifting up Jesus, wonderful message, and it's so true, the things the brother said. I believe every word of it. It's the truth, and may the Lord bless you, Brother Gary. Next Sunday morning, Brother Mark's going to be bringing the Word of God here next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and the Lord is always willing. Hallelujah! And praise God. Tune in again this evening, and at 4:30, you know, there is a lot of people that's listening to messages, and there's things happening that maybe we don't see here and different things, but God's touching people out there, and different things is happening. And let's keep praying and believing. And we know COVID's real, but Jesus is even realer. Amen. Amen. He's a healer.
Yes,
he's a savior. He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he's a soon coming King. God bless you all. Tune in this evening 4:30, and our brother Mark will be next week. And the Lord bless you, Brother Gary. I'm so proud of our brother, if I can say it like that. I really believe over this lockdown, his preaching's really come on. All the brothers have done well, and I'm not just saying that to put a head in anybody. I believe that. I believe this has all happened for a reason, for a purpose. And you know, I'm going to say this. Just imagine somebody came here in a wheelchair, blind, and the Lord healed them. I'll guarantee you that would draw people faster than anything. Jesus is able to do it. He's able to do it. God bless you. Yes. And if anyone wants prayer, brother's going to be singing a song or two. If you want prayer, come forward and we'll pray for you. There's elders here, deacons here. We'll lay hands on you if you want that, and pray for you that the Lord will touch you and the Lord will bless you this morning. God bless you all.
Amen. Praise God. Well, as we go, if anybody wants to come forward for prayer, come forward. And I'm just going to sing a chorus or two while others leave. He's able, I know my God is able.